The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, it's Monday, May the 13th, 2024. We want to welcome you to tonight's broadcast. This is End Time Headlines, news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. And I'm your host, Ricky Scapparo, the founder and the voice of End Time Headlines. And listen, we want to welcome everybody to the program. If you're watching or listening, whatever platform you may be on, if you're able to comment, let us know in the comment section below that you are new and where you guys are joining us from. We've got a great lineup for you tonight. Before we get started, I need you to do two things for me. One, hit that like button, that bell notification, and that subscribe button for us. That's going to help us out by pushing out our material on these platforms. And number two, we need you to download our free app. This is going to give you the opportunity and the availability to keep up with our ministry on every level. Every podcast, every headline, everything is going to be right there at your fingertips. And you can get yours today by going to your Apple or Android store, depending on your device. Download the app today and hit yes to push notifications. I'm going to talk about today on tonight's program, I want to talk about end time deception in the form of apparitions, angelic encounters, and these supernatural occurrences. I'm going to show you a report that's come out from the Vatican that I think is very intriguing. But before we get to that, I want to build a foundation on which we can build on to make this more understandable of what we're dealing with here. Let's go to the book of Galatians. If you have your Bible, I'm going to be reading from the New King James. If you could, please turn with me to the book of Galatians. I'm going to be in Galatians chapter 1, the very first chapter of Galatians chapter 1. And we're gonna go right around verse 6. Again, if you're listening by Apple, by Spotify, Galatians 1, 6. This is the Apostle Paul speaking to the church of Galatia. And this is what he warns the church. And I believe this is going to be more relevant as we get closer to the coming of the Lord than any time in history. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you into the grace of Christ to a different gospel. So the Apostle Paul warns about a different gospel coming, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. So now he deals with in his day, he's dealing with present tense, his day, where men came in by stealth and they were perverting the true gospel of Christ. They were bringing another gospel that was not preached by the disciples, preached by the apostles. It was not preached by Jesus nor delivered by him, but people were flocking to it. These were like the people that that the apostles dealt with in places like Galatia and Athens, where in which these men and these women flocked to any and every new teaching. They had multiple gods, little g. They worship multiple gods, little g. They had multiple doctrines. And any new thing that came, they flocked to it. Let me show you that in Scripture. I want to show you this so we can bring you clarification on this. When you go over to Acts chapter 17, we see here, starting around verse 19, 22, the Apostle Paul is there. He is in the city there in Thessalonica. And it says, and they took him and brought him to Areopagus. They took him to the Areopagus saying, quote, may we know what this new doctrine is of what you speak. They're talking to the Apostle Paul, for you are bringing some strange things to our ears. So these men had never heard the gospel of Christ. Therefore, we want to know what these things mean. For all the Athenians and the foreigners who were there, look what it says here, guys. They spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear something, some new thing. So then Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious. Stop. There's two things that I want to point out here. And this is where we are today, by the way. You've got a lot of people that has left organized religion or the church as we know it, but they call themselves religious. Now, we know a lot of people are now identifying as non-religion, but there's a lot of people that consider themselves religious. Now, when we define religion, these are individuals who they could be agnostics. They could say, well, I don't believe in necessarily that there's one God or there's a there's a one creator of the universe, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They just believe in a greater power or some deity that created things and fashioned things into place or whatnot. So here you have two groups, or you have this group of individuals that they perceive to be religious, but notice that Paul said that when he's talking about these individuals, they spend all their time looking for and listening and teaching some new thing. They were always hopping on the new thing. And guys, can I tell you, this is one of the things that is the downfall of the modern church. I'm just going to be honest with you. One of the downfalls of the modern church is that the simplicity of the gospel of Jesus Christ is not enough. Paul said, I'm determined to know nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified. But this is not enough. The blood is not enough. The cross is not enough. The message of redemption and faith in Christ and faith in him alone is not enough. Salvation through faith and through grace and not of works, lest any man should boast. It's not enough. So they're looking and searching for all other new ways that they can enlighten themselves. They want revival, even if it crosses the boundaries of the Word of God. Even if it violates the very thing that the Bible warns us against. I'm going to elaborate a little bit more on that when I get deeper into Galatians. So these people are moved by emotions and feeling and not by truth. Because truth is, come on, found in the 66 books of what you call your Bible, the Old and New Testament. That's the truth. There's many things. So what is your measuring rod today? This is what our standard is. The standard is the Word of God and everything else. Any new teaching, any new religion, any new faith, any new leader, any new ministry, any new revival, any new awakening that pops up and comes on the horizon, we are to measure it up to the Word of God. We are to be like the Bereans and dig into the scriptures and see, does this line up with this? If it doesn't, you need to toss it out. I don't care. Well, Brother Ricky, it made me feel good. It gave me goosebumps. My kids were excited about it. They were fascinated by it. They kept us entertained. They did all these things. Did it root you and ground you into the truth of the Word of God? Let's go back to Galatians. All this is going to make sense when we get into what we're going to talk about today, into the deep meat of this. Paul says, I marvel that you're turning away so soon from him who called you into the grace of Christ to a different gospel. This was happening in his day, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and they try to pervert the gospel. They twist it, they contort it, they do all these things. But look what he says here in verse 8, but even if we or, here it is, an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than that what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. And he repeats himself, as we have said before, so now I say it again. If anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. Notice he says, even if an angel from heaven appears and gives you a message, just because it's a supernatural being or a quote unquote apparition or a spirit or a deity, just because it shows up in a cave, in a living room, at a cathedral, at a church, at an altar, at your prayer closet, it doesn't necessarily mean it's of God. Now let's go over to 2 Corinthians. This is still the Apostle Paul. And then he tells the church of Corinth almost verbatim the same thing here. He says, I fear lest somehow as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, listen to that verbiage, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. What he's saying here, that the gospel of Jesus Christ is so simple that a child can understand it. But what happens is you have Gnostics that come along and they claim to have some superior knowledge and wisdom and revelation than what is in the written word of God. Oh, I'm going to preach it today. I see it all over the place. This is why every month they're coming out with a new book, because they claim to have a new revelation from God and from the Holy Spirit. Listen, if the new revelation and the new message is not found in the original blueprint of the Bible, and it doesn't line up with Scripture and it contradicts the Scripture, you need to listen. Then that book, I don't care if they're a best-selling author or if they have 100 million followers, you need to use that book. That book that they wrote is good for nothing but firewood or toilet paper. Paul is saying, I fear that your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. The simplicity is not enough. Listen to what he says. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus. Oh yeah, they're going to come preaching another Jesus, and they're already here. Just because they name the name of Jesus, or they say Jesus, or they quote Jesus, doesn't mean they're preaching the Jesus of the Bible. Oh, can I preach here just for a moment? We got a lot of preachers getting up behind pulpits and they cite the name of Jesus. They quote Jesus, but they never bring the doctrine of Jesus. They never tell you to repent. They never tell you to turn from your sin. They never tell you to choose ye this day whom you're going to serve. They never warn you about the dangers of hellfire. They never warn you about the dangers of eternity. This is not the Jesus of the Bible. The Jesus that they preach is one-sided. It is always a love, grace, and mercy gospel. It's never correction, never rebuke, and never judgment. Never. It's always one-sided. This is another Jesus. This is not the Jesus of the Bible. It's not the Jesus that the early apostles preached about. And it's not the Jesus that the early church preached about. And the apostle Paul warned again in 2 Corinthians. Let me pull this back up. He said, for if he who comes preaches another Jesus whom we've not preached, or if you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it. And again, he's saying here that it will be tolerated in the church. Keep all this stuff in mind. See, you got a lot of people that they claim to be somebody and anybody because they claim to have an angelic visitation. An angel shows up in their living room, their bedroom, their prayer closet, whatever. And never in their testimony was it fearful to them, which is contrary to the Bible. You go and you read the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament. Every time an angel showed up to someone, the angel consistently had to say, fear not. For I am the messenger of the Lord. Fear not, I am the angel of the Lord. Or fear not, the Lord says, or thus saith the Lord. Why are they saying fear not? Because if you have a real angel of God show up to you, it is going to scare the living daylights out of you, because it's a supernatural spirit. Angels are spirit beings. They're eternal. And every reference in the Bible tells you this. So I laugh when I read about these quote unquote testimonies or these people that get on the Sid Roth show and they claim to have 300 encounters with angels. Some of these people get on there and they claim that the angels appear to them and take them to heaven once a year and give them new revelations. One guy claimed an angel appeared to him and told him to write another addition to the gospel of John, which is, again, this is absolute blasphemy. And some of you have this translation, and I call it, and I'm using quotations, translation, because it's not a translation, the Passion Translation, which, again, if you go study it out, this translation was created by Brian Simmons, who he gave his whole testimony on the Sid Roth show, claiming that an angel of God appeared to him and told him to write this, and that this was going to bring revival to the world around the globe.
I was actually asleep, and I was taken out of my body, and I was brought into this immense library room. I loved being there, and the Lord came up to me, and he said, Brian, I have brought you here to let you take any two books you want. And I'm just walking around, but it didn't take long before I saw a book that I knew I was to have. And then soon I saw another book I knew I was to have. But you'll never want me back on the show when I tell you what happened then.
What?
Well, I have to tell you the truth. I saw a third book, and I knew the Lord told me I could only take two. And in heaven, whatever you think is put out over the loudspeaker. Everyone hears it. Your thoughts are broadcasted. So here's what I hear coming out of the loudspeaker, and it's my own thoughts. How can I steal this book? And then I said, oh no, I'm shoplifting on God. I felt so ashamed that I knew if I could take this book, there was this book so, if I could just take this book back with me to the natural realm, it would trigger awakening in all the nations of the earth. It would bring it would make the name of Jesus famous in the world. But Jesus came to me and said, Brian, I cannot let you take this book. And he looked at me in the eyes with love that melted me. And he said, you are not ready for that book. Then he promised, but I will bring you back one day. And I will give you that book.
What was the title?
Written on the cover of the book was John 22.
But there's only 21 chapters in John. What's this 22?
Well, John 22... Go back to John 14:12, and you'll see that there is a greater works generation. The works that I do, you will do even greater works than these. I believe the John 22 generation will be a people that do the greater works of Jesus. They will not add to the scripture, and that's a sealed book, but it is a book that is unfolding, and the works of Jesus will be replicated by an entire generation of people that believe fully in the power of God.
Guys, again, this is exactly what the Apostle Paul is warning about here. So look, let me go to 2 Corinthians. I'm sorry. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. Yeah, 2 Corinthians 11, 13 through 15. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. So listen, the apostle warns that in the last days, there is going to be false apostles, deceitful workers. They will transform themselves into apostles of Christ. They will call themselves apostles. They'll masquerade themselves apostles. They'll work their way in the churches. And he warns here that Satan himself even transforms himself into an angel of light. Now, why did I spend this entire time? Why did I spend like 15 minutes building this foundation? Because there was a new article that came out, and I'm going to get there right now. Let's go right there. This is from foxnews.com. Listen to this. The Vatican in Rome is preparing guidelines for what? For apparitions and other supernatural phenomena. Now, by definition, an apparition is a, and I quote, a ghost or ghost-like image of a person. Let me say that again. An apparition, by definition, is a ghost or ghost-like image of a person. And here's a secondary. The appearance of something remarkable or unexpected, typically in an image of this type. Under the definition of this, they give you the 20th century apparitions of the Virgin Mary. We're going to talk about that in just a second. But I want to tell you again, you've heard me say this before. There is no such thing as ghosts. Will you say that with me right now? There are no such thing as ghosts. I know the mainstream media wants to tell you that and believe that. Hollywood wants you to believe that. Cartoons, animations, the world believes and wants you to believe there's ghosts. There's no such thing as ghosts, friend. These are demonic spirits. They're familiar spirits. Okay? So when an individual sees a quote-unquote apparition that appears of a quote-unquote person It's a demon. It's demonic. So isn't it? So here it is. The Vatican is preparing guidelines in anticipation for coming apparitions and other supernatural phenomena. Now look what it says right here below this. Apparitions are appearances or communication with divine beings such as saints, angels, or Christ himself. Now guys, this is heavily steeped into the false doctrine of Catholicism. The false religion of Catholicism, where there the saint and angel worship and the worship of Mary, the mother of Jesus, is heavily practiced in this religion. So I'm not surprised, guys, that it's so much so and so prominent that the Vatican is preparing guidelines for these type of encounters. Let's read on a little bit. The Vatican is preparing to release a document giving guidance on how to discern supernatural phenomena. The Holy See Press Office announced the upcoming document will be published this month, May 17th. Okay, so that's this week, with a live stream press conference featuring perfect for the for the doctrine of the faith, Cardinal Victor Manuel Fernandez. Fernandez has previously said the diocese is in the, quote, process of finalizing a new text with clear guidelines on norms for the discernment of apparitions and other phenomena, according to the National Catholic Register. An apparition, again, refers to an instance in which a divine entity, such as a saint, the Virgin Mary, or Christ himself, makes itself known to a person on earth. The concept is a reoccurring theme in the Bible and most Christian denominations. Well, stop. The Virgin Mary never appeared to anyone after she died. None of these saints appeared to people, except, howbeit, Jesus Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration, Elijah and Moses appeared to him. Okay, so again, we have to use discernment here. Am I saying that angels cannot be, am I saying that angels don't appear to men today? No, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, angels do appear, but saints and the Virgin Mary, no. But angels do appear to men today. I absolutely 100% believe that. But just because, again, an angel appears to people, you better know the word of God, because what comes out of their mouth or what they tell you better line up with Scripture. The Catholic Church urges extreme prudence before ascribing phenomena to a supernatural force, warning that being too quick to attribute divine origin to explainable occurrences can damage the faith and warp belief. Really? They're worried about this damaging the faith. They're worried about this damaging the Catholic Church, and not all the sexual stuff, not all the bending and the capitulating and the compromise of their doctrines of faith and accepting things that God calls an abomination. Oh, yeah, none of that is going to hurt the faith. But whether or not someone says that they had an encounter with the Virgin Mary or a saint, that's what's going to push them over the edge. Interesting. Now, I want to talk to you for a moment about, let me say this real quick before we get into this. Two major religions that was formed from this stuff right here that we're talking about was Islam and Mormonism. The Prophet Muhammad claimed to have an encounter with an angel, Gabriel, that appeared to him in a cave in Mecca, and wherein which he wrote the Quran, and which other in which others were around him, and they wrote things down that the Prophet Muhammad allegedly said, and they wrote them in what's called the Hadith. These are the oral sayings of their prophet. But again, don't miss it. The entire Islamic religion. Think about that. Over a billion people on the planet and growing claim to be Islamic or Muslim, and it was birthed from an angel that appeared to one man. And then Mormonism, Joseph Smith, one man, claimed to have an encounter with an angel, wherein which this entire religion was formed from. Why, again, why do you think the Apostle Paul warned about this? And I believe, and I'm going to show you this in 2 Thessalonians, when we get closer to the coming of the Lord, the revealing of the Antichrist, we're going to see this on a whole other level that you've never seen before. But I'm going to go back to 1917, because there was something that took place. This is widely known. You can research it and you can see. They call this the Miracle of Fatima. In 1917, it's the most well-documented, quote, apparition in the modern day. An alleged series of appearances by the Virgin Mary. Again, it was not the Virgin Mary. Now, I know some of our Catholic friends, whatever, that may be watching, listening, you may be Catholic, and this is probably going to be offensive to you, but you need to hear the truth. Again, the Virgin Mary did not appear to these people, but allegedly there was multiple appearances by the Virgin Mary to several children that promised a public miracle. Tens of thousands of people in Fatima, Portugal, claimed to witness the sun move erratically across the sky and produce radiant colors for several minutes. Let me say that again. This alleged apparition of the Virgin Mary appeared to several children, promised miracles, and over 10,000 people in Fatima, Portugal, where this took place, claimed that the sun moved erratically across the sky and produced radiant colors for several minutes. When I started digging into this, I found out that these children claim that there was an angel that appeared again to these individuals and spoke to them and held a chalice with his left hand and a wafer with the other. Again, this comes right out of the Catholic Church, guys, because Catholicism, a lot of these believe in what's called transubstantiation, which is a long word, meaning that they believe that when they drink of the wine and the bread, it actually becomes the actual body and blood of Jesus. According to the written testimonies, this angel, this apparition, claimed to give three secrets, the secrets of Fatima. One of them was released, another one was released, and the third one has been held in secret for years. And there was a cessation of popes that came out and tried to release this. But it all talks about, basically, I want to get to the very sum of this so I don't waste your time in digging through too much of this or going through so much of this. In 1996, the only living individual to have seen the entire alleged third secret of Fatima in detail was Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger, who was the head of the Vatican's Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith. He later became Pope Benedict, who was the head of the Catholic Church. Many, however, in the Catholic Church who believe the third vision, listen to this, there's a rift in the Catholic Church on the interpretation of this third secret, or what this third secret was. Some claim that the vision was a detailed account on how the real Pope will one day battle the force of the Antichrist at the time of the end. There's another split, watch this, that says that the final Pope will be the defective Pope who will actually work with the Antichrist. Now, guys, you realize that in Revelation 13, there is a lamb with two horns that rises up out of the earth, and he will work with the Antichrist. And many scholars believe that this false prophet, a lamb with two horns, is going to be an apostate, defective pope who will merge two major religions together and form an apostate religion, which will be the religion of the Antichrist. Even Saint Malachy, who was of the Catholic faith, he came out and said that there would be a cessation of popes and that the final pope would be the apostate pope in the last days that would work with the Antichrist. So this is fascinating. And I believe, again, I believe it's all demonic. I do not believe it's of God because of the details of these quote unquote apparitions and these encounters and the things that was said and done. Now I want to get to you. I want to show you why I think this is going to be very intriguing and why we need to be paying attention to this. I believe as we get closer to this thing wrapping up, the end time, apostasy is going to go rampant. You're going to see apostasy and deception on a level that we cannot even imagine. You've heard me. We've talked about this. When you go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, I'm going to pull this up. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. The Apostle Paul wrote that the coming of the lawless one, that's the Antichrist, is according to the working of Satan. He will have all power, signs, and lying wonders at his disposal. Let me say that again. All power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who are perishing because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie. Listen, I'm going to make a prediction not based on, this is not a, well, the Lord showed me. No, the Bible says this. If you think for one moment that there is not going to be deities and apparitions and angels appear in the last days, making proclamations and saying things to the masses and even performing lying signs and wonders. And the people who are going to eat this stuff up are going to be the people who have not accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Number one. Number two, they don't know the word. Now, why did I emphasize that? Why didn't I just leave it at they don't know the Lord Jesus Christ? Because guys, listen, there's a lot of people that love God and they're born again, but because they're not rooted and grounded in the word, number one, they're going to be blown by every wind of doctrine. Number two, these are the people that are, it's amazing how they will run from conference to conference, from ministry to ministry, from new to new to new, and from a revival to revival, encounter to encounter, because it's all based on their emotions and how they feel and not based on the word of God. So these people are susceptible to deception as well. Not just people who are not born again. We know that. If you're not born again, the Bible says that there's blinders on your eyes and your hearts. The Bible says if the gospel be hid, it is hid from those who the God of this world has blinded, lest the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ should shine unto them. So we already know that those who are lost, those who don't know the Lord, those who are unsaved, they're already walking in darkness and they're in blindness, spiritually speaking, because the veil has not been lifted through Christ Jesus. But watch this. I believe that even born again Christians who love God, they are susceptible to this kind of deception. Again, 1 Timothy, guys, 1 Timothy chapter 4, Paul said that there'll be some that shall depart from the faith. Again, you can't depart from something you were not first a part of. They will depart from the faith. Why? Because they're giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, seducing spirits in the last days. So even those who are born again are susceptible to deception. Why? Because they want their ears tickled. They want the feel good message. They will turn from the truth and they will turn to fables. That's what Paul warned Timothy. In the last days, men will no longer endure sound doctrine, but according to their own lust, they'll gather around teachers that they want to hear, to teach them what they want. And they'll turn their ears away from the truth and they'll turn to fables. So I think it's intriguing that the Roman Catholic Church is preparing to update their guidelines. And isn't it interesting timing of this? And they're releasing these guidelines as if, listen to me, they're already anticipating and expecting a increase of apparitions and supernatural phenomena. Now think about for a moment. I'm going to take a different angle to this. Think about what's going on in the realm of the extraterrestrial, aliens, UFO, UAPs, unexplained phenomena, mysteries. You got all that going on. Think about the people that are being deceived by this. They're flocking to this. I've said it, and I've said it 100 times. If a massive craft was to quote unquote appear in the sky, you and I both know there would be hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people that would flock to it. And if some type of being, apparition, deity, whatever, stepped out of that craft and made this proclamation and declared itself as God. Now you say, well, Brother Ricky, there's no way I would fall for that. Well, you may not, because you know the word. I wouldn't, because I know the word. But there's many people in your family that you work with, your neighbors, your friends, people you know, that either A, they don't know the Lord, or B, I'm a Christian. They call themselves Christians, and the only time they go to church is Easter or Christmas or Thanksgiving or, you know, whatever. But they're not rooted and grounded in the word of faith. They can't even quote two scriptures. You think those people are not going to fall for that? So this thing, if this was to happen and that thing declared itself as God, how many people would worship it? And you say, well, I don't think that's going to happen. Well, I can tell you in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 that there's coming a false Messiah. I said there's coming a false Messiah that will set himself in the temple of God, which I can't even get half the Christians to believe that there's such a thing coming, because they've been taught by false doctrine that there's not going to be a temple in the last days, even though it's clearly stated in Revelation 11. It's clearly stated in the book of Daniel, and it's clearly stated in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, where this man of sin, the Antichrist, will set his headquarters up. The Bible says that he will show himself that he is God. He will exalt himself above all that is called God or that is worship. So he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he's God. He's going to have the ability. He will speak great and blasphemous things. He will attempt to change both times, laws, and seasons. He will, the Bible says, he will speak enigmas. He will have the ability to unravel enigmas. He will be, the Bible says, the whole world will wander after the beast. So don't tell me such deception's not coming. It is coming. And listen, I know many of you guys are hoping and praying and believing that trumpet will sound and we'll be out of here as the church before that ever could transpire. Listen, I'm right there with you guys. I'm praying and hoping and believing that before this event takes place, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, that we as the church are removed from the earth. I'm praying and believing that we are the restrainer. But listen, I am not foolish enough to be dogmatic to the point where if I'm wrong, I'm not prepared accordingly. So this is why we do these messages like this. This is why, listen, I need you to share this with your friends, your family, your coworkers, whatever the case may be, because there may be some of them that are Catholic or they have a desire and hunger for the supernatural. They love all the ghost hunting. They watch the ghost hunters. They love this stuff. They eat this stuff up, the supernatural, the apparition, the phenomena, the ghost. You need to show them this stuff because they are going to be susceptible to this type of deception. When, not if, but when we start seeing this stuff start unfolding at an unprecedented level. Listen, I'm getting ready to close the broadcast. We survived a major bullet. I don't think anybody realizes this. We, humanity, the United States, the West, whoever's listening, your country, we survived. We dodged a major bullet with these solar flares, and we're not out of the woods yet. I know I'm kind of shifting gears here. We're going, well, the solar maximum is in 2025. We're not even at the solar maximum yet. Who knows what's coming? But we thank God for his mercy. This is exactly what I prayed, Lord, be merciful to us and spare us. And I'm appreciative of that. And I thank God that he spared us, because it could have been a whole lot worse. We didn't get the Carrington event that some thought we was. And we better be thankful for that, because if we did get the event that they did, what they call the Carrington event that happened in the 1800s, we would not be broadcasting tonight. We would be in the dark. There would be no electricity. There would be no communications. There'd be no internet. There'd be no running water. It would be bad, guys. So again, what am I talking about? Jesus said in Luke 21:28, when you begin to see all these things coming to pass, look up, lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Listen, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. That's going to be our main website. Again, grab your app today. It's available on app on Android devices. Download today. Hit yes to push notification. You're going to have every headline, every podcast when it's readily available. It's going to be right there at your fingertips. So we would appreciate you guys doing that today. And again, of course, if this ministry bless you, encourage you, equips you week after week after week, we always want you to pray about becoming a monthly partner. You can do that two different ways. Right there on your screen, you can give electronically through the app or through the main website, or you can give by check or money order, and you can make it out to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391. That's going to be Monroe, Georgia, 30655. As always, guys, we love you guys. We appreciate you. We're going to sign off for tonight. Lord willing, we'll see you guys on Tuesday, May 14th, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern, same time, same place, same channel. Until then, may the Lord bless you, may he keep you, and may his countenance shine upon you. We'll see you soon.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.